we're back. You're listening to Money Talks. I'm Matt Hames here with Jennifer Thomas, Troy Harmon, KC Smith. Again, you're listening to the longest-running, most respected money show on Atlanta radio, Money Talks, and we are talking about college planning. We've been discussing for the last few minutes this case study we've got here from Amelia and Ravi. She's 41, he's 39. They've been married since the year 2000. Adjusted gross income between them is $102,000, just over $102,000. They've got an 8-year-old and a 10-year-old, and they need to start saving for college. And this is something that hits so many of us. I'm right in the middle of this. I've got a 7- and 8-year-old. How do we begin to think about this? What's the conversation that needs to be had? Because there's a bunch of options, a bunch of people saying a lot of different things out in the marketplace. Where do we start on this?
Yeah. I think first and foremost, what a lot of people need to understand about saving for college is that there are sources out there that are available for funding college, other than just you coming out of pocket and paying for it as the parents. I understand that you feel like there's some obligation and responsibility there, and I applaud that. That's a worthy goal to have, to put your kids through college. However, there are no such funding programs available for your retirement. So people really need to look at that first and foremost, and not put that ahead of their own retirement goals.
Well, because we get the question, right? So should I save for my kids' college, or should I contribute to my 401k plan?
You know, and it depends. People feel differently about it. There are a lot of people out there, or we have clients that could easily afford to pay for their kids' college, but choose not to do so, or only choose to do part of it because they feel like there should be some responsibility in the child to, you know, work his way through college, get a job, or take out the loan and become a responsible citizen. But at the same time, you don't, if there are a lot, we also see people who absolutely, that is their goal, is to pay for 100% of the college, to the detriment that it's going to hurt their retirement, or it may cause them to work longer than they actually want to do so. And you have to be willing to understand, okay, if I do this, what impact is that going to have on me?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, college these days is a major expense, and it's not getting any cheaper. I mean, average inflation on college cost is above 5% a year, which is, you know, pretty steep. And taking into account the age of their children, I mean, they can probably expect for a local or a public in-state university, even not even going out of state or going to a private college, to pay upwards of, you know, $120,000
total cost. For the full degree.
Now, one of the things that we had in this case study was that their kids were recently identified as advanced placement. Now, they can also earn scholarships.
Absolutely.
They can get, right now you can get the HOPE scholarship, assuming that continues when these children go to school. If they have good enough grades, then that's going to take care of the majority of the tuition.
Yeah.
I had a daughter graduate from Georgia Tech, and she had the HOPE scholarship all but 1 year. She missed it by
0.03. Ooh. Wow, ouch.
But anyway, that's neither here nor there.
She should have partied harder, and it wouldn't hurt your feelings.
Exactly.
I know. I'm like, seriously, right? No, but I mean, she did really well. But you know, that helped a lot with her college expenses.
Sure. And the average family, based on the studies, gets around 38% of the cost covered by financial aid and scholarship. Mm-hmm. So the idea that, I mean, Casey, the number you just mentioned on total cost, just looking at it, was $120,000+.
Right. And that's per child.
Per child.
You're talking about,
is that current or is that a projected number?
That's
that
projected with 5% inflation.
All right,
so starting in 2023, their oldest child is 10. So
About 8 years.
It's a huge conversation too, right? Because in reality, when you think about the job market, we talked about the first segment, you know, what employment's doing, what does a job, what does a college degree do for you when you come out of school, your ability to earn. When we live in a time when, if the statistics are still true, I assume they are, that there's more student loan debt in this country than there is credit card debt.
Oh, yeah, it's scary.
Well, there's also a big problem in the way that the students are using.
Use of funds.
Using the loans. They're using it to fund a lifestyle. There are no poor, hungry college students anymore. You know, they're using it to get a $1,200 a month apartment and, you know, go out to eat all the time and fund vacations and other things with this, with these loans.
Well, you have to go to spring break, Jennifer.
There's no around despite what the mayor of Hanawha City said. Exactly. You got to go. Yeah. Exactly.
You only have 4 years of eligibility for spring break.
That's right. Right. I mean, I think you need, if your child is going to take out loans, that's an extremely mm-hmm. important conversation that you need to have with them. Is
yeah. Managing debt is mm-hmm. obviously a lesson to be learned early on, and doing so will set you up nicely for, you know, the future once
well,
you do.
Right. And I assume it's the same. Income. I assume it's the same today as it was when I was in school. You know, when I would go in to get my books in the bookstore, and you come out of the bookstore with your bag full of books for the next quarter or the next semester, there were just as many credit card applications down in that bag as there were books you pull out. So
right.
yeah. It's not just the student loan debt you're going to mm-hmm. take on. It's going to be the credit card. So yeah, that's an important conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah. What debt, I guess, would be reasonable might be a big portion of this conversation, wouldn't you think?
Yeah, absolutely. And, I mean, it obviously is going to be dictated by the type of degree you're going after. I mean, if you're going to end up in a very high-paying job at the end of the day, then you could probably afford to take on a little bit more debt than somebody right. who's coming out with an education major, unfortunately. I mean, that's just the way it's set up today. So, I mean, there's a ton of factors that need to be considered when you're planning for paying for college for your kids or grandkids, for that matter, and sort of transitioning into what resources there are that you have to pull from. I mean, the 529 plan has sort of become the new staple as far as saving for college.
It's becoming the most well-known. So we talked a little bit about debt and what that means. I know we discussed earlier in the show in relation to mortgage rates and where they are today. This particular case, you got a situation where they've got a 6.15% interest rate on their current mortgage. So, you know, tending to your own, pun intended maybe, tending to your own house in relation to the economics and where cash flow is going is just something that needs to be part of the conversation. But we started to dip into funding vehicles, tools that can be used. We mentioned 529 plan. How do we need to think about this?
So just to piggyback off what you just said, I mean, in terms of the mortgage rate, I think that's certainly a good place to start for them. I mean, refinancing at today's rates could save them close to $4,000 a year, and that's about 40% of what they would have to save on an annual basis in order to completely fund their children's college. So that should be considered as part of the option. And if they're looking to maybe just fund part of it, then the question becomes, do they want to dip into the resources available from a loan perspective and see what would it take to get a loan?
No matter what they do with the college, they need to refinance that house
so
they
can
get that done.
Yeah.
But they, you know, I think running a financial plan for themselves, making sure that they're able to meet their goals for retirement is important before you start trying to save for college.
Absolutely.
But, you know, assuming that it's either their goal to save for college, then determining the best place to do that, and where if you're going to only fund part of it, mm-hmm. how is it going to affect your ability to get a loan or to get grants or scholarships or things like that?
Let me just address that topic real quick. In terms of getting a loan, just in summary, and a lot of people don't know this, where you actually have your assets is important in terms of the calculation for determining the amount of financial aid that is going to be available to you. And the way that calculation works is they basically take the cost of attendance for whatever institution you're looking to go to, subtract out any resources from scholarships, direct payments either by parents or grandparents to the university for tuition and things. And then they subtract out what's called your expected family contribution, and that's where the FAFSA, the Free Application for Federal Student Aid, which is a pretty complicated report that you have to fill out to calculate your expected family contribution. And what goes into that is your assets and where your assets are. So 20% of a student's assets are counted in that calculation, 50% of a student's income is counted, 2.6% to 5.6% of a parent's assets are counted, and then 22% to 47% of a parent's income. So I realize those are some sliding scales that are dependent on income and certain allowances for things that go into the FAFSA. But important to note is that retirement accounts are excluded. So whether those are belong to the child or to the parent, retirement accounts do not count towards that calculation. So those are obviously a good place to have assets in terms of qualifying for the most student aid possible. 529 plans also do not count. Well,
do not count.
Actually, I take that back. 529 plans, if they're owned by the parent, are included as part of the parent's assets.
Mm-hmm.
So up to 5.6% could be included as part of the...
But if grandparents are contributing, correct, they can be the owner. They can also get the deduction.
Yeah,
that's right.
And they can, you know, have the beneficiary be the grandchild, and it won't count
and
toward...
Does not count.
Doesn't count.
Correct.
What about the assets of the child? Now, I know we talk a lot of times if you can pay your kids and put their money in the money you would pay them in a Roth IRA, would that actually be qualified?
Roth IRA is qualified money, so that also does not count.
Does not count.
Okay. But however, a custodial account.
Yes.
Custodial accounts. So, you know, if you're saving for college, I would definitely do a 529 plan over a custodial account.
The only benefit that I see to a custodial account, which is minimal in my opinion, is that the kiddie tax. I mean, you can basically exempt up to, I think it's $2,100 for 2015. The first $1,050 is tax free, and the next $1,050 is taxed at the child's tax rate. Above that, any income from a custodial account would be taxed at the parent's rate. So the fact that you can sort of structure it to get $2,000 or $2,100 at a very low tax rate.
The interesting thing that always comes up in the conversations I've had with clients about custodial accounts is the reality of the fact that if they save a meaningful amount of money to a custodial account, when the child turns 18...
21.
21, sorry.
In Georgia, 21.
In 21, Georgia. Mm-hmm. In Georgia's 21, it's their money to do
If they choose not
car,
to go to college,
they can,
it is an irrevocable gift.
Yeah. So I know all of our children are going to turn out absolutely perfect and would never consider using the funds that their parents set aside for college for anything other than higher education. But in a custodial account, you might ought to scratch your head about that.
Yeah, if they decide to go backpack across Europe, they can have at it.
Or buy that awesome Z28 they found on Craigslist.
Yes.
There you go. Like I said, when we get back from the break, we're going to stop here. So don't touch that dial. We'll keep this conversation going. You're listening to Money Talks.
All material presented is compiled from sources believed to be reliable and current, but accuracy cannot be guaranteed. The contents are intended for general information purposes only. Information provided should not be the sole basis in making any decisions and is not intended to replace the advice of a qualified professional, such as a tax consultant, insurance advisor, or attorney. Although this material is designed to provide accurate and authoritative information with respect to the subject matter, it may not apply in all situations. This is not to be construed as an offer to buy or sell any financial instruments. It is not our intention to state, indicate, or imply in any manner that current or past results are indicative of future profitability or expectations. Portfolio holdings discussed are subject to change. There is no guarantee that in the future these securities will be held in Hensler accounts. As with all investments, there are associated inherent risks. Please obtain and review all financial material carefully before investing. Hensler is not licensed to offer or sell insurance products. This overview is not to be construed as an offer to purchase any insurance products.